الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Earlier today, I was spending some time with actually Zahid. Many of you know Zahid. I don't think he's here right now. But he's actually reading a book called Ta'lim al-Muta'allim. Ta'lim al-Muta'allim is a book which provides instruction for people who seek knowledge. It's actually a really interesting book because it was written by one of our famous scholars who felt that he was watching students of knowledge attempt to seek knowledge of the deen, but not receive the fruits of their efforts. So he in fact writes in his introduction that I watched so many seekers of the deen in various branches of knowledge of the deen seek to attain the fruits in their efforts, but I watched that so many of them failed that I became concerned that perhaps it was for some reason that they were failing. So he actually then did a personal analysis of all of the different things that are required in order to gain knowledge, in order to succeed in gaining knowledge, and in order to attain the fruits of that knowledge. And so he writes several chapters on the various etiquettes of gaining knowledge. It's a very beautiful book. Actually, it's in the English language. Someone has translated it. And if you have time, you should purchase a copy of it and read it. Now, in the Madaris and in traditional Islamic centers of learning, it's actually a required book in the very early years of your studies. And the reason why the ulama make it a required book is because if you have that book as your support, it provides you with tremendous guidance as to how to succeed in gaining knowledge. Anyway, one of the really unique things and one of the beauties of this book is that there's a tremendous amount of Arabic poetry in the book. So either the musannif himself, the author himself, writes the poems or he quotes poems from famous people. And he uses these poems to highlight the points that he lays down for means of obtaining barakah in seeking knowledge. Now, these principles that he lay down apply to seeking knowledge in general. And so actually, in one way, all of us are students of Islamic knowledge, whether it be the desire to learn more Quran, whether it be the desire to learn hadith, whether it be the desire to learn Arabic, whether it be the desire to even learn the science of Islamic spirituality to develop ourselves. So in some way, shape, and form, all of us are always students. And in fact, that's the basis of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he advised us to seek knowledge from the cradle all the way to the grave. Right? So anyway, I was saying that he uses several poems in order to highlight his various points that he raises. And one of the poems that he uses really reminded me a lot of some of the things that my teachers pointed out to me. So I thought that I would actually recite that poem to you and talk about it a bit. So actually it's a poem written by the author himself, and he is discussing the importance of consistency and being consistent in what you attempt to do. So he says, لِكُلِّنْ إِلَى شَأْوِ الْأُولَاءِ حَرَكَاتُ. For each thing, in order to attain the peak of the peak, right? In order to attain the pinnacle of what's high, there's movement that's required. Right? If anybody wants to attain, or anything, he's actually talking about thing in general, anything wants to attain its peak in whatever field or in whatever area, it needs movement. So, for example, a bird wants to attain the peak of its height. What does a bird do? A bird needs to flap its wings and move. So he's saying that the general principle of nature is that لِكُلِّنْ إِلَى شَعْوِ الْأُولَاءِ حَرَكَاتُ. For every single thing, in order to attain its peak, what's required is constant movement. Right? But then he makes one exception. وَلَكِنْ, so he says وَلَكِنْ, but basically there's one exception. عَزِيزٌ فِي الرِّجَالِ ثَبَاتُ. Except becoming aziz among people, becoming someone of importance among people. The exception there is it requires ثَبَاتُ. ثَبَاتُ comes from ثَبَتَ in the Arabic language, to be firm, to stick upon something, to be ثَابِت. Anyway, so the poem actually is a very beautiful poem, right? So he says, لِكُلِّنْ لِكُلِّنْ إِلَى شَعْوِ الْأُولَاءِ حَرَكَاتُ. That for every single thing, in order to attain its peak, movement is required. وَلَكِنْ عَزِيزٌ فِي الرِّجَالِ ثَبَاتُ. But the exception is that in order to become respected among people, to attain some degree of, for a human being to attain a peak, actually it requires ثَبَات. Not movement, but actually being stationary and permanent in something. So what he's basically highlighting is that in order for man to excel in anything that he puts himself to, there has to be ثَبَات in that individual. ثَبَات means permanence, or to stick to something. And actually this applies in various realms. For example, he gives several examples. He says, for example, you have to have ثَبَات with the subject that you study. So if you decide that you want to study Arabic, then you need to stick at that one subject and not do anything until you master that one subject. Now, if you see what human tendency is, our tendency is what? One day we do Arabic, then the next day we say, no, let me just grab this book of tafsir. Then the third day we say, oh, let me read a book of hadith. So we tend to move, right? Our soul by nature wants movement. It always wants things to be different. And actually he's advising us that actually thabat is the key thing. Permanence and being consistent upon one thing is the key thing. So that's, for example, in the case of a particular subject, sticking to that subject. But it applies in general, and he uses various examples throughout his discussion. One, for example, it applies to sticking to a way. So let's say that you have devoted yourself to one way of progressing, right? And you've decided that you're going to use that way to progress yourself. You've made a commitment to that way. So in that case, it actually, for the true student, and for the student who attains, who desires to attain the pinnacle, then it behooves that student to stick on that way. Now, I'll tell you that this applies in knowledge, and it also applies in tasawwuf. For example, our teachers used to give us this example all the time. There were several students. What they would do is that they would come to one school, and then they would say, oh, in this school, this teacher is teaching this, and in that school, this teacher is teaching, and they'd do school hopping, right? 1 month they would be in one school, then a few months later they'd be in the next school because they would hear all the people ranting and raving about that school, and then the next few months later or a year later they'd be in another school because everybody was ranting and raving about that. And what they didn't, and those, our teachers used to say, these are the failures of the students. These are the students who tend to fail because they don't stick to one place and get everything they can out of that place. It's basically akin to, for example, if you're a university student at UIC, alright, and then you say, whoa, wow, the classes are really good at Northwestern. So you don't attend any of your classes at UIC, but you sit in Northwestern classes all day. You're not going to be able to benefit. You're going to fail the exam. Because actually you needed to sit in your classes, and that's where your benefit was. You made a commitment to an institution, you paid the tuition at that institution, and so you need to subsequently stick with what goes on at that institution. So they used to use this for and as a major example for students of knowledge, but it also very much applies for students of the tasawwuf as well. And that is that when you attach yourself to a way or a methodology, you need to become very much permanent on that way and very deep and focused on the way that you've chosen. Now, granted, before you choose a way, there's a lot of different options that you have, there's a lot of different things that go through one's mind when they're making that decision. Fine. So those decisions and that time exist in everybody's life. But once you've decided that, okay, what I can get, what I want is here, and I have the opportunity of attaining it, and it's available to me, then at that point, once you've made that commitment in your heart, then it behooves you to actually stick on that path and not look to the left and to the right. Because that's where true benefit lies, in thabat, in being consistent and being permanent. Now, this even goes back all the way to the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. Right? If you look at the way that the Sahaba were with the Prophet ﷺ, they were very much attached to the Prophet ﷺ. And basically they committed themselves to the Prophet ﷺ. Now there are so many other things, you know, movements come and movements go, and people come and people go, and ideas come and ideas go, and there were always people in the community who had new ideas, who had different dreams or aspirations or ways of expressing that, yet they basically were blinded in their love for the Prophet ﷺ. They were very, very, very attached to following his way. Now, you can say, well, that was the Prophet ﷺ, and then subsequently those were the Sahaba, so how can that apply in general to times after that? But you find the exact same thing within the Sahaba. You'll find that groups of Sahaba developed among the Ashab of the Prophet ﷺ, and those groups were very restrictive in their learning. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه became one school of learning, and companions, they surrounded him And then Tabi'in, they surrounded him and they became very attached to him. Right? Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu became one school of learning. And they were very much attached to the opinion. The group of people became very much attached to the opinions of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So each of these companions, these major ones that the Prophet ﷺ eventually pointed out throughout his lifetime as people, as companions of especially great knowledge and especially great understanding, they became schools in their own right. And then subsequently you have from them schools progressing. So for example, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud became one particular school. And out of him came all of these, this lineage which eventually becomes the school of Imam Abu Hanifa. Now, they say that Imam Abu Hanifa had many great qualities. And in fact, several years ago, I gave a talk on that subject, and you all have read and know the biography of Imam Abu Hanifa. I mean, he was a very pious man, very righteous man, a very knowledgeable man. He was a man full of taqwa, especially in the way in which he dealt in his business transactions with the people of his city, etc. There's many great stories about the life of Imam Abu Hanifa. But one thing that was especially great about Imam Abu Hanifa is despite the fact that he had thousands of teachers, literally if you read the books of history, you find that he had thousands of teachers, he devoted himself to his teacher in fiqh. And that's what eventually made Imam Abu Hanifa what he was remembered for. And same with Imam Yusuf and Imam Muhammad. They were very much devoted to Imam Abu Hanifa in their understanding of fiqh. They had thibat with their teacher. And so eventually they became the great a'imma of their time, and they become people who you quote all the way until this day and age. We say, Sahibain said this, Imam Abu Hanifa said this, Imam Yusuf said this, Imam Muhammad said this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all. So we regularly quote these individuals because they had some type of thibat in their field. Same thing in the field of tasawwuf. It's the exact same thing. The actual people who have developed themselves are people who take the first step upon the path, and then as they subsequently move down that path, they don't worry about being distracted by what's going on to the left and what's going on to the right. There's always other options available, there's other things available, there's our own nafs which calls us towards one way, and then there's other things going on around us which call us towards different ways. Once you commit to a way, and you know that that way has the ability to get you from point A to point Z, and you have access to people to guide you along that way, then the question is done. I mean, you've made a commitment, you have opportunity to stick to it, you have an opportunity to move along that path. Then after that, really, that's the key thing that now applies is thibat. That's the key characteristic that allows one to succeed upon this path. So it's very important that we understand this exception of nature. Because actually, it is human nature to jump around. Right? This is why people are so, if you look at people whose nafs are not trained whatsoever, they love their 100 to 200 to 300 channels of TV and they still get bored because they can flip. Right? They constantly love to flip. Or people who go from site to site to site. The internet is so appealing because you can flip. Right? You go from here to here to here to here to here and it's just infinite. And it doesn't seem to ever end. So our nature, by nature we're designed that we like to have harakat. We like to have movement. But actually the secret is thibat. The secret of progressing, the secret of succeeding is thibat. And that's actually what you find in the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and what allowed them to succeed. And in fact, they even narrate that. Now if you look in the book of Imam Bukhari, when the companions actually narrate, they themselves reflected back on the time before they met the Prophet ﷺ. And they used to say, okay, what was it about us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the Prophet ﷺ? Meaning what character, when we were in the Jahiliyyah, we had so many bad things that existed within our society, so many bad things that existed within us. What were those characteristics that were good, that attracted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite mercy? And one of the characteristics that they relate is their commitment. When they said something, they were ready to die for it. They would give up everything once they committed to the Prophet ﷺ. And that was one characteristic that became so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He chose that community to become the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. That's how pleasing it was to Allah. Despite all the jahiliyyah that existed at that time, and despite of the fact that quote-unquote, as far as deservedness is concerned, perhaps those individuals did not deserve the Prophet ﷺ, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked some of their characteristics, He sent them the Prophet ﷺ. And one of those characteristics was their honesty, and another one was their thibat. And they relate a couple more, but these are the two big ones, this thibat. When they were very much resistant to the Prophet ﷺ initially. And for many of them, it was a very hard thing to swallow, that they should take another deen. But when they actually took that deen, there was no turning back. They didn't look to the left, they didn't look to the right, they didn't think twice, is this okay, is that okay? Whatever the Prophet ﷺ said, they did it. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, they submitted to it. And then that's what subsequently allowed them to progress to the peak which they progressed in, that ithibat. And so the same principle that allowed the Sahaba to succeed, that allowed the Tabi'in to succeed, that allowed the Tabi'in to succeed, that's allowed the righteous all the way up until this time to succeed, remains the same secret of success. Number one, you find people who are submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who aim to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you stick to those people. And you work towards developing your relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be in knowledge, and the example arises with Adnan Hazza, where is Adnan? Adnan Hazza, Sharia course established, right? I mean, for the students in the Sharia course, that's the key thing. If you want to succeed, you have to be regular, you have to be devoted, and you have to make this your primary goal. Same thing in the case of tasawwuf. Now many of you have committed to a path, and the way that your success will arise is that you basically have to dive in, and you have to surround yourself and submerge yourself on that path. Submerge yourself in the dhikr of the path. Submerge yourself in the a'mal of the path. And submerge yourself in the people of the path. And when you do these things, you will very quickly progress. Because in thibat lies progression. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be among those who have permanence and inheritance in those things to which we submit. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.